Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank the listeners for calling in and listening on your computer. If you call in and you have a question, make sure that you press the number 1, and that way I will know to select you and allow you to ask your question to the guest or to myself. This morning we have a special guest, Angel Waldron from the Asthma and Allergy Foundation. Angel Waldron is a national spokesperson for the AAFA and represents the foundation in the media. The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America is a not-for-profit organization that was founded in 1953 and is the leading patient organization for people with asthma and allergies and the oldest asthma and allergy patient group in the world. Thank you very much, Angel, for coming on today.
Thank you, Joy. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, yesterday was the first day of spring. And for most people, that might be a happy thing, but for others with allergies, they're like, oh, no, here we go again. What are some of the things that people can do around the house just to help combat this spring, which is supposed to be a great season, beautiful flowers, warmer weather, but then they're suffering, sneezing, watery eyes. What can they do around the house to help alleviate some of those stressors or triggers, as they're called?
Great question. The good news is that there's lots of things that we can do to try to prevent our exposure to these allergens that cause so much trouble in the springtime. Unfortunately, there's no cure for allergies. There are 40 million Americans that suffer with it right now. But there are some things that we can do. First of all, your best route is to get diagnosed. To have an allergy test, find out exactly what you're allergic to, because you don't want to just go to the drugstore. There's so many different options. You don't want to buy the wrong thing that is not going to help your particular case. So go get.
Does it hurt? If what kind of, don't they poke you with needles? Or I mean, is there an easy way to get tested? They take blood. What do they do to find out when you go to the allergist?
That's the old-fashioned skin prick test, and they still do use that. But there are many different other ways now. There's a thumb prick with a quick 2-second prick. They can do a blood test now to find out what allergens cause your symptoms. So it's not as traumatic as it used to be a long time
okay.
ago. but it's very important to find out what is causing these allergies. Also to know how to decipher between allergies and cold symptoms. If your cold is lasting longer than a week, it's probably allergies. If you have a clear, runny discharge instead of a thick, mucousy one, then it's probably allergies as well. If you see it at the same time every year, especially in the spring, then you probably got allergies. So go get tested, find out what you're allergic to, and then we can help you decipher how to reduce your exposure to those triggers that are causing you trouble. For example,
some of the triggers. What you want to talk about? Some of the triggers.
Sure. Well, this time of year, pollen is the culprit for many folks. The trees from oak trees, maple trees, and elm trees are the ones that cause the most trouble in the springtime with airborne pollen that we inhale and then causes us to sneeze, wheeze, cough, and itch sometimes. So you want to find out if pollen is the culprit, then you need to try to stay indoors between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. That's when pollen counts are highest. So you want to try to stay indoors if you can during that time. If you must go out, when you come back in, remove your shoes at the door because you're going to track those pollen spores inside your home and bring that outdoor problem indoors.
And your coat, I guess, a hat if you had something like
definitely
that.
Definitely change your clothing. That fabric will absorb those pollen spores, and you'll be breathing them in through while you're at home. A great thing as well is to try to wash your hair if you can, because while you're outside, your hair acts like a mop, and anything that breezes by it is going to get trapped. And then you wonder why at night you're sleeping on your pillow with your hair next to your face and you're having so much trouble sleeping. Probably because you brought a lot of pollen inside with you. So if you can, at least wash your hair or try to brush it out before you come indoors. So those are some things you can do if pollen is the problem for you. Now, if you've got indoor allergies, which consists of things like dust mite allergen, pet dander.
They also mentioned about cockroaches, which was amazing to me. I started hearing about that in recent years, that that's an issue.
That's right. The same type of dander that is on cats that bother so much people are also present in cockroaches and rodents. So, you know, these are common sense things, but don't leave food or garbage uncovered in your home. Use poison baits with boric acid and traps rather than chemical agents, because those chemicals can also irritate allergies and asthma. But that's a
now,
very...
So what do you do in terms of children? If you have children and you're concerned about them, I guess, getting some of these deterrents, are there other... I know they have closed box things that can catch rodents or things that are children safe. Do you guys have a listing on your website maybe about products or...
We sure do. For that very reason, we started this certification program 2 years ago. It's called Asthma and Allergy Friendly. And what we've done is partnered with a group of scientists in Dublin that test household products to make sure that they are more suitable for patients with asthma and allergies. So there's a wide range of categories that we've got so far. They include washing machines, stuffed toys, because when kids sleep with toys, and they've got dust mites in them, it's the same concept as your hair. You're breathing in those allergens that can cause trouble. So we've got stuffed toys that are certified, asthma and allergy friendly, vacuum cleaners, air filters are also a great treatment option when you're at home. There's flooring. You know, carpeting can cause a lot of trouble for folks because it holds so much dust in it, and it's hard to get it up unless you're using a vacuum with a HEPA filter.
Right.
We actually recommend that you just pull carpeting up all completely, because hardwood flooring is the best option for people with asthma and allergies.
Wow.
But
so that's pretty drastic to take all your carpet up, but I guess if you're suffering on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there a difference between the spring allergies and then some people don't have spring, but it happens in the fall, or is that the same, it's the same issue of the pollen and things falling off the trees and the plants, is that the same thing?
Well, it's the same disease, but fall allergies are usually caused, instead of from trees, it's from ragweed. And we see tree pollen counts highest in the springtime. In the summer, if you're having a problem, it's probably grass.
Mm.
And then in the fall, it's usually ragweed that causes that same allergic reaction. So that's another reason it's important to be tested, so you know exactly what to avoid. If you're in a urban area without trees, without a lot of trees, but you're still having those symptoms, you don't want to have an allergy product that is targeting pollen. You want to find out exactly what's your problem so you can treat it properly.
Yeah, I see like Zyrtec and Claritin, and some things are 24 hours and 12 hours. I guess it's very personal. It depends, again, on the type of allergy. And then some medicines work for some people and some work for others. Like it's just not blanket. Like everybody can't just take one kind, like Claritin or Zyrtec. They may have to take something else.
That's very true.
Now, in terms of the prevalence of allergies, we talked briefly earlier before the show that it seems to be on the rise. Why do you think that it's on the rise now than in the past, that people are having so many allergies?
Right. Well, as I mentioned, for allergies, there are 40 million Americans that suffer with it. And in the past, since the 1980s, the prevalence has doubled. It was in the low 20s 20 years ago. And, you know, the reasoning for that is not concrete. There are many different theories that people have, and they all have validity. One of them is that 20 years ago, we didn't know the difference as consumers. We weren't as aware of allergies. People were self-treating themselves for cold symptoms, so they weren't going to the doctor and being diagnosed. So the higher prevalence could be just that more people are becoming educated about it and going and getting treated, and now they're listed as diagnosed where 20 years ago they weren't. Another reason is environmental factors. We all know that our air quality has declined dramatically in the past decade due to all the chemical agents in the air and air pollution and the ozone layer. So, you know, we're exposed when we're outdoors to a different set of allergens that we didn't have as many of back then. And then another theory is this hypoallergenic theory, which states that here in America we are very conscious about sanitary conditions, and everyone's carrying their hand sanitizer, which I myself love, especially for the kids, because they're great. They prevent the flu from spreading, and you want to prevent your kids from catching a cold from their classmates. However, there is this theory that says that the more we do that, the harder it is for our immune system to build up a resistance to these germs. And
right.
And now we have gotten so sanitary here in our country that, you know, we are reacting to things that should not be causing us these problems. I forgot to mention what allergies are. Allergies are an unnatural reaction to an unharmful substance.
Mm.
Pollen spores and mold spores and dust mites don't cause people these types of problems in foreign countries. You only see this high prevalence in America, and part of the reason could be that we're so sanitary that our immune systems haven't been able to build up enough strength to resist them. So instead of, we're not fighting, we don't need to fight malaria or, you know, the older diseases that we used to have. So our immune system is bored. It's looking for something to react to. So here's some pollen.
Here's
let me react
trigger.
To that.
Yeah. So, also the big issue of secondhand smoke.
Yep.
That even if maybe, I know living in an apartment building, sometimes smoke travels through apartments or in the hallways.
Mm-hmm.
People, when you come outside your job, all the smokers are standing outside your job. I know when I was younger, I was very sensitive to cigarette smoke. I could be in the same train car with somebody, and I would have to get out, like, oh, my God, somebody's smoking. Or somebody was smoking, and the smell, something would trigger me, and I would start sneezing.
Yeah.
So one thing I want to talk is, like, how are asthma and allergies connected? And sometimes allergies symptoms seem to mimic asthma symptoms in terms of trouble breathing and the watery eyes and things like that. Are they similar in terms of genetic or physical makeup, or are they completely different and have nothing to do with each other?
Well, they're closely related, but before we get into that, I just want to comment on your smoking point, because it's so important, and I'm glad you brought it up, that secondhand smoke is a huge trigger for asthma patients. And you parents, if you're smoking around your children, please, you might as well not even waste time spending money on medication, because you are harming them. And there's no stronger way that we can say this. There's even laws that are being passed now. You know, people used to, there have been smoking bans in restaurants and bars, but now there are states that have even passed the smoking law that makes it illegal for you to smoke in the car if there's a minor in the car. And this is because this situation is so serious. Like, there's no excuse to be smoking around children, and even adults who have asthma. It's just there's no reason for it. So I just wanted to touch on that, because it's a huge trigger for asthma patients as well.
Do you think that makes a child more susceptible to developing asthma or allergies if the mother is smoking, or if the mother is around smoking while she's pregnant, in terms of prenatal care?
Mm-hmm.
Is that an issue? Is that one of the ways that people might have developed asthma, because their mother specifically when they were pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any research on that?
Well, asthma is a genetic disease. So if one of your parents have it, you're more likely to have it. Being exposed to smoke is not going to cause you to develop asthma. It can cause a whole lot of other diseases that are even worse. But you're not going to develop asthma due to exposure. But if you already have asthma and you're exposed, it will worsen. So that's what you need to remember. It's a trigger. It's not a cause, but it's a trigger for your symptoms if you've already got it.
Asthma is genetic, and
that's right.
So that makes it different than allergies.
Well, both of them are genetic. You know.
Oh,
and,
really?
And,
okay.
And depending on what your parents have and how many of your which parent has it, and if both of them have it, your likelihood to have asthma or allergies greatly increases. So you want to know your family history when you go see your allergist and get your test, because that will help them also understand your biological makeup and what you'd be more likely to have.
So now, in terms of asthma, I know I was reading that there are changes in the types of medicines, the way the medicines are administered now. Are they still using the albuterol inhalers? They've moved to something more environmentally friendly.
That's right. Well, we've got lots of different options. That's the good news about these diseases. We haven't found a cure yet, but our treatment options have expanded greatly. The ease of delivering them has improved. So for asthma, there are several different types of medications that you can use. The brand names are not as important as the ingredient. But as you mentioned, we still use albuterol as a rescue. I want to stress to folks that albuterol inhalers are not a daily control medicine. So if you're using your inhaler every day, your disease is not controlled, and you should go and find a different prescription from your physician, because inhalers are only supposed to be used in emergency situations. So if you're using it every day, something is wrong, and you need to get that fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But we still do use them. They're a great method of rescue medication. At the end of 2008, all CFC inhalers were officially banned because they deplete the ozone layer. And we are now in transition of receiving the HFA inhalers, and they have the same type of medication. I know that a lot of folks don't like them because they don't get that immediate relief and that buzz that comes from the CFC inhalers. But the important thing to remember is that the medication is the same. The only
now,
thing
do you have do you have anything on your website that kind of shows people or teaches people how to use these new medicines, or is that someplace they can go to learn how to administer them properly so they don't take too much medicine because maybe they think they're not getting enough?
Definitely, because we're seeing a lot of misuse of these new inhalers. There's a different way to prime them and clean them so they don't clog. You want to make sure that you learn those techniques. And you can find, we've got a very easy-to-read chart that you can download at transitionnow.org. And you can download a chart that tells you about the new types of inhalers, how to use them properly, how to clean them, and how to prime them so that you get the correct amount of medication when you're using them. But the important thing to remember is, although it feels different, they are proven to work as effectively as the CFC ones that we had before. It's just a different propellant that's used that is not going to harm the ozone layer. And this has happened among many, many different types of product groups. Inhalers are just one of the last ones to have that transition happen. You saw
now,
it with hairsprays a few years ago, and the other types of aerosol cans are being slowly weeded out.
Slowly. So how did you... in terms of your agency, you guys also do a lot of research, and you give out research grants to medical professionals and science, people who are studying. How can somebody, can anybody apply? Do they have to have a certain level of credentials for these grants? How can they go about getting grants to help learn more about asthma and trying to cure asthma and deal with allergies?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have an investigator research grant. And it offers, it's a program that sponsors, we seed grants for investigators who want to explore new areas of science related to asthma and allergies. And it's a great program because it's enabled 80% of those that have received that grant to win additional research from bigger institutions that have totaled more than $18 million. They usually go to NIH. After our primary grant. So it's kind of a jump start for the young researchers.
And let's tell the audience your address is www.aafa.org. Again, www.aafa.org.
Mm-hmm.
And is there a 1-800 number that they can call if they have questions,
sure,
trying to find a chapter in their area, in their state?
Sure. It's 1-800-7-ASTHMA. And you can use that hotline if you've got any questions about your disease. We've got tons of free information we can send you in the mail. We have free newsletters that you can sign up for that give great current event tips about asthma and allergies, and we keep you posted on what's going on Capitol Hill and what you can do in your community. You can sign up for all those things on the website or at our toll-free hotline, which is 1-800-7-ASTHMA.
Now, there's things called clinical trials where if people are trying, you know, they've tried three different medicines and it's not working, that they can sign up for. Do you know of any new trials that are coming about that seem very promising?
You know, there's so many of them, and we have a partnership with CenterWatch in which we help to recruit patients for that. It's also on our website under the research section, and you can sign up for clinical trials in your area if you like. These are just another way to get us a step closer to a cure. So we encourage folks to explore those options in their local communities.
Now, a lot of children suffer with asthma, and they sometimes maybe feel isolated because they feel like they can't do what their friends do in terms of running, jumping, and playing sports. Is that true for every child that has asthma, or what are some precautions? Kids who want to run track, maybe play basketball. There's a lot of famous people who have asthma. I know Dara Torres, she's an Olympic swimmer. Jackie Joyner-Kersee, she was a runner. What are some things that a child can do to help participate in sports and live a fuller life but still manage their asthma properly?
Yeah, well, our whole mission at the Asthma Foundation is to help people have a life without limits. And as you mentioned with those great athletes, and there's so many others that we can name, people who live with this disease and still thrive. There's a stigma around asthma. There's a lot, anytime you see an asthma patient on a sitcom, it's usually the quiet, nerdy kid with his inhaler who doesn't socialize and doesn't participate in any activities, and that's just not the case. We've got hundreds of thousands of success stories. If you get diagnosed early and you learn how to manage your disease with an allergist, there's no reason that you can't participate in all those activities. Now, on the safe side, we don't want folks to overexert themselves. It is a disease that has to be managed. But if you have exercise-induced asthma, for example, and your child wants to participate in physical education with their friends, it's good to have an inhaler at school so that before gym class they can take a puff of that before participating in any strenuous activity, just to be on the safe side. That's another law that we have been pursuing on the Hill, to make sure that patients in every state have access to their inhalers, because there's some schools that see an inhaler as a drug that cannot be carried on the student's person. They have to keep it locked up in the nurse's office in case of emergencies. But if a child is out on the football field,
right? How are they going to get to the locker room?
How are they going to get? Yeah, and then,
exactly.
And then not just get back to the building, then get to the nurse's office, but then get the key to get into the. You know what I mean? It's just.
I have a daughter, and I had to fill out those forms, and I said,
right.
This is crazy. She has that exercise-induced type of asthma, and she was playing soccer. We found out, like, one day she was doing a soccer championship thing. They were playing, like, multiple games, and all of a sudden she was, like, you know, she was feeling dizzy. She was having problems breathing and different stuff, and that's how it came about, because it never happened any other time. Even, you know, running or whatever, she just never had any symptoms, but it triggered. Maybe she was about 10 years old. I guess that's the first time maybe we noticed something, and so she had to start carrying the inhaler. And then with the schools, it was, you know, leave it with the nurse. And I'm thinking, well, if she's in the middle of having an episode or exacerbation, she needs the inhaler, like, right then and there. She can't wait 20 minutes or something somebody walks down the hall or goes up the steps. And then, like you said, get the key, because it's supposed to be locked up.
That's right.
So as a parent, I was very upset about that, and I'm happy that you guys are working toward changing that. Fortunately, she, you know, is living a full life and does lots of activities, but that is a big concern, because, like you said, it's considered some type of drug that needs to be, you know, locked away, because, yes, there was kids, and, you know, you don't want kids to have access to drugs, sometimes they can be used when they get older for negative purposes.
Right.
But, you know, that has to be hands-on because it happens so quickly. People can die from asthma. Not many people do, but people have died from asthma for various reasons, I'm sure, not just because they couldn't get to their inhaler, maybe because of the severity of, mm-hmm. of their asthma. But,
yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate that we have to fight for something that seems kind of simple, you know. Mm-hmm. But so now, what are other initiatives are you guys working on at the AAFA for this year? Do you have any conferences going on?
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys have educational information and training materials for health professionals that are also on your website that doctors and nurses can use to educate their patients.
That's right. Well, we don't have a, our own conference, but we attend the medical conferences of the physicians to let them know what's going on in the patient community since we represent the patients in asthma and allergies. We just returned from a large one in Washington last week where a lot of new interesting data was released from the pharmaceutical companies that we'll be reviewing and determining how to share that information with our patients in the upcoming months. For educational materials, we service the patients, the healthcare providers, the school nurses, the asthma educators. There are tons of programs and materials that are available. Some of them, well, the patient materials are usually free. And then for the healthcare providers, the doctor's offices that may want to have a program that shows them how to relay information to their patients, those come at all types of different bracket costs, and you can find them on our website under the education tab. So we encourage folks to just take a look, and you know, if you want to sign up for our newsletter or if you need a brochure, a lot of these materials are now available in Spanish. So just give us a call and let us know what you need. We're here to serve.
I want to thank you, Angel, for coming on today. We were expecting another guest, the Breathe Easy Foundation. Unfortunately, they weren't able to make it, so we are going to cut the show a little short. But again, thank you very much, Angel, for coming on this morning. Again, their address is www.aafa.org. Again, www.aafa.org, and they have lots of resources for you there. I want to thank the listeners that listened on the phone, on their computer, came in the chat screen. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to mark Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys as a favorite. And next week, we're going to be talking about women and technology. We're going to have three dynamic guests with us: Dr. Telly Whitney from the Anita Borg Institute, Avis Yates Rivers, President of and CEO of Technology Concepts Group International, and Lena West, who's an award-winning social media consultant. So check in next Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, talking about women in technology. I also have a special co-host, Meg Widholm, and she's a geeky tech chick that will be joining me next Saturday. Also, I want to mention that the Wilmington Chester Mass Choir records its 10th live project on next Saturday, March 28th at 6:30 at the Antioch Baptist Church at 700 Ferry Avenue in Camden, New Jersey. Again, that's the Wilmington Chester Mass Choir next Saturday, March 28th, 6:30 p.m. at Antioch Baptist Church. For more information, call 215-206-9121. Again, 215-206-9121. Thank you so much again, Angel, for coming on this morning and really informing people about their triggers and treatments, and also for health professionals. A lot of resources are available for you there. And parents, remember, certified asthma and allergy-friendly materials that you can use to help protect your children. A listing is also available on www.aafa.org. Again, thank you for tuning in to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Don't forget to mark the show as a favor, or also leave comments on the show's website that you know others can see. Or if you want to email me, you can email SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Feel free to email me with any questions or suggestions, topics that you're interested in learning more about. Again, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Thank you very much, and everybody have a wonderful spring Saturday. Thank you, Angel.
Thank you, Joy. Have a good one.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you.